At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu. To the old me, scared and unseen, you're the reason I built this dream. Now I speak so others thrive. Turn my scars into sound. I come alive from the ashes and the breakdown. I don't run, I rise, won't back down. This is the voice I found. For those who lost their voice, I sing it loud. I keep it real, keep it purpose bound. Every word a step, every truth profound. We don't heal in silence, we fight with grace, softness and defiance, lighting up this place. It's a call to every soul who wants to be free. A song for
one. Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is Keeping It Real on Purpose, and I am your host, Edna White. This is the podcast where we come together with real talk about real things and struggles in life, relationships, and in business on purpose. Today, our guest is Simon Servino, and he is an entrepreneur, an author, a speaker, a podcast host himself, and we want to welcome him to our show today. Welcome, Simon, and thank you for being here.
So cool to be here. Hello, Edna. Hello, everybody. I'm excited to be here.
Yes, I know. I'm excited to have you here to talk about how do you show up in the world?
21 years ago, I did fall in love with one thing. Mm-hmm. And since then, every day I'm showing up to serve those people with that one question.
That's good.
You know, it's a constraint, of course, when you say, okay, I'm going to serve one group of people to solve one problem. Mm-hmm. You are creating a constraint.
Okay.
And many people say, oh, wow, but that's hard, right? With a constraint, where is the freedom? And I say, it's the opposite. I did fall in love with this one particular target group, with this one particular problem. Mm-hmm. And now every day I get creative. I just show up,
right,
open, and then I listen, and then I have to get creative and to find solutions to those problems. And that's what I love about it. And the target group that I picked is entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. The problem that I picked is the go-to-market problem.
Okay.
How to enter a market, crush it in a market, stay in the market. And that's how I show up in the world. I'm here to serve entrepreneurs in scaling. Mm-hmm. And I'm doing it every day since 21 years.
Nice. So when you talk about market, what type of market are you talking about? Are you talking about marketing, or are you talking about in the market that they're in? The industry,
marketing and sales.
Okay.
So, whatever you are doing, mm-hmm, you are doing it out of passion and love.
Right.
But it will only come far if you actually get it across, right?
Right.
And so that getting it across—that's marketing and sales.
Right. So, what's the difference between sales and marketing? Because they do, although they are together, that I've learned, they one's different than the other.
Yeah, huge difference. Marketing is starting a conversation.
Okay.
So, hey, hello world. This is what I see. Are you interested in exploring that with me? That's marketing.
Right.
Sales is, I see you. I see what you need to solve next. And I commit to split the risk with you, become your partner. Now let's do this.
Right.
You see, it's very different, right? That marketing comes from an energy of curiosity and exploration and sharing the journey.
Right.
And sales is an energy of commitment, intensification, and partnering up.
Yeah, that's important. The partnering up is very important for marketing. I think a lot of, and if you could share something on that, I think a lot of our clients kind of forget that part of it, you know, the partnering up in the marketing part. Would you say?
Yeah, then you don't close the deal, right?
Right.
If you forget that part, that's the money-making part.
Oh, yeah.
That's the part when they say, yes, I'm going with you for the next 3 months, 6 months, let's partner up.
So take us through, a session with you for a business. You know, let's take us
Sure.
take us through that.
So, what's an example? Of a business to give you a demo.
Let's say real estate. Okay.
So in the first month is about identifying the current bottleneck. So let's say you are somebody who consults people on which real estate they should pick
Right.
to create a long-term portfolio.
Right.
Now, in the first month, we find out, okay, what's your bottleneck? The bottleneck is the weakest part of your system. If we just simplify, every business is made of marketing, sales, and operations. And then there is a management element of that because you have to work on form, fit, and function of marketing, form, fit, and function of sales, form, fit, and function of operations. That's management.
Okay.
So we help find the bottleneck by asking, let's say you take on 10 times more real estate clients
Right.
next week.
Okay.
Which part of your delivery breaks first? And so they might say, yeah, I can onboard them, but then in week two, I don't have enough people actually to deliver.
Okay.
So we know that week two of your delivery is the bottleneck.
Okay.
So we work in cycles of 90 days because those are 12 weeks of one sprint each of 7 days. And so each sprint would focus on one bottleneck and solve that first.
Okay.
And when we've solved that, we write it down and we move on to the next bottleneck. So every
Gotcha.
process is different, but the process is the same for everybody. So in the first month, we would identify the bottleneck,
Okay.
then we would simplify the offer, and then we would improve the sales part.
I got
So
you.
closing more real estate clients.
Okay.
Then in month two, it's about making that more repeatable by writing it down. And in month three, we add some marketing because now you have something that's working. Now is the time to get out there and tell the world about it.
Okay. So it seems like when you say bottleneck, because that means, you know, what's the hardest is what's the problem that's stopping you from kind of continuing or flowing the way you should, correct? Okay.
Yeah, it's the weakest part
The weakest part,
that
okay.
even if you put in more energy, more resources into it, that part will stop the overall flow because it's the weakest part.
I got you. So that is the yeah, because I know when you said bottleneck, I think about going through traffic and there's only one way into the area and the line is like forever long to get in and
Exactly.
out. Yes.
And now you can have a Ferrari, but that bottleneck is stopping everybody.
Everybody, yeah. So when you said that, I was like, oh, that makes like perfect sense. Like, there it is. Okay, so no matter what it is, it's gonna. If you have that challenge there, you're not going to move forward. And I like that you said 90 days. And what's the significance of doing it for 90 days? Do you think like someone could come to you? Like I said, I'm in real estate. So I come to you and it's like, oh no, I don't want to do 90 days. Will it be profitable for me to do maybe a month?
We would make you a disservice, so we would not offer a month
Okay.
because that would be a disservice to you.
I got you.
The reason why 90 days is it takes around 15 to 22 days to change behavior,
Gotcha.
so to break existing patterns of how you do sales,
Right.
marketing, operations. And then it takes quite a while, up to 60, 70 days to install new behaviors.
Oh, wow.
So if you say, I'm going to run my first marathon, in the beginning, you have to let go of some things, like you will probably drink less in the evening for the next 10 days. So you are letting go of some patterns, and then you will install some new patterns. For example, I run every day, independently of the weather. And it takes you around 40 to 60 days to really cement that new habit into your life. And so overall, in 90 days, you can run your first half marathon. You can make yourself ready for a first half marathon if you have never run one. Or if you did a marathon, you can prepare for, or a half marathon, you can prepare for a marathon. So you can do deep transformation in 90 days, but you cannot do it in 30 days, probably. That's why, from our experience, having run many hundreds of those sprints, we see that it takes around 75 to 85 days for that whole transformation to
To
happen,
happen.
letting go of things that are not conducive to your growth, installing new things, and fortifying those.
Yes, okay, that makes sense. So I know that your business name is Strategy Sprints. And now I'm starting to think, now I know why. So tell us why the name Strategy Sprints.
Yeah, for me, the most important question is what's the right thing for us to do? And then the second question is, and what's the best way to do it? And so, what's the right thing for us to do? That's the strategy question. Before you know that, you shouldn't do anything. First, clarify what's the right thing.
Makes
And
sense.
that might seem counterintuitive because most of us, we like to start doing stuff, right? It's more fun. But you have to check that you are running in the right direction. Again, in a marathon, you might be running really fast, but in the wrong direction. So first you check what's the right thing to do. That's the strategy question. And when you have found the strategy, which means you have a thesis, what makes you superior to all other offers out there, and how you will crush it in the market, that's a thesis. Right? And when you have that thesis, how you will win and deliver, then you go into the tactical level. That's what we call sprints. So now you can break down work into very small chunks of a week, and then every week you just solve one little part of what you need to solve. And this is important because your team needs motivation and energy over a longer period. It's a series of sprints. Like if you think of a year is a series of 50 sprints.
Oh, wow. Yes. Didn't think about that, but yeah.
Yes, and building a business takes years, if not decades. So we are talking here hundreds of sprints. So you will need energy back, otherwise you burn out. That's why important to think about what gives teams actually energy and motivation. So that's why we cut work into very small pieces that teams can actually deliver in 7 days. And when they deliver them, then they get feedback. Now it's like Angry Birds. You shoot the bird, 500 points. You shoot the next bird, 700 points. And immediately you want to shoot the next one for 800. Imagine you shoot the bird, and then it says, thank you for shooting the bird. In 6 months, you will get a detailed report about your results.
Right.
You burn out. You stop playing that thing.
That makes sense. Makes sense. Yeah,
and
that
so
makes sense.
Why do we do that, right? So why would we not organize for flow? And that's why we have developed a sprint method where every 7 days you ship it, you get feedback, and you want to build more on Monday.
Gotcha. That makes sense. So let's segue into your book, because I know your book says a lot of things about this, right? Tell us about you being an author and the name of your book.
So it's like 20 years that I want to write a book.
Uh-huh.
And my wife was poking me. She says, Sam, when will you actually write the book? And I say, yeah, next year.
Uh-huh.
And I never did it.
Oh, boy.
And then came the pandemic. And she was like, okay, what's your excuse now? And I said, okay, I'm going to write it.
Yeah. What's your excuse now?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I had no excuses anymore. And
yeah.
So I did sit down, go through 21 years of being in the trenches with teams. And I said, okay, what are the most important learnings? What are the processes that have worked every single time in 14 different countries?
Right.
Those are the processes that I will share in the book, because they help everybody. Like, it's when you get a cookbook.
Mm-hmm.
It's just wonderful to have a cookbook.
Yeah.
You get immediately, you know, the cultural experiments of 3,000 years of a country, and then you get it in a book, it's ready, you just do what's in that checklist.
Mm-hmm.
And you have an amazing dish, and you feel that country, that culture, the language, the perfumes.
Yeah.
Immediately.
Yeah.
That's why I love cookbooks, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so the Strategy Sprints book is actually a very practical book just for growing businesses.
Right.
One chapter is how to do marketing. One chapter is how to do sales. One chapter is how to hire.
Right.
And it's very practical. It's like a cookbook.
Mm-hmm.
And I have it here on my desk. In some months, my marketing is not working. And so I go, which step did I skip?
Right. Okay.
I go back, chapter 4, marketing.
Mm-hmm.
I go through the checklist. Oh, look, I was trying to jump over step 6.
So you're always checking yourself with your own book, which is great, which is so great. That's good.
Yes, because the effective processes are actually very simple.
Mm-hmm.
They are evergreen. They're timeless.
Mm-hmm.
Think of yoga processes or Ayurveda. Those are very simple,
yeah,
very
processing,
proven, very old things. And if you think you can do something much fancier, etc., usually after a couple of months you go back to the simple thing.
Mm-hmm. It's always the simple things. It's always the simple things. It really is.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
The challenge is that we go fancy, right? We think we are much smarter.
Yeah.
And then we create something fancy, and then it usually doesn't work. So
yeah.
I always get back to the roots, and I use the book to do that.
Yeah, I call it the shiny syndrome. You know, you always, you know, you have what it takes simply to do something, but we always see something shiny, you know, like the new gurus. Oh, this is, you could do this and that. And really, and you try it, right? You try it, and it flops. But do something very simple and basic. Everyone loves it. You know, so it's shiny syndrome. We get like that sometimes, that, you know, we doubt ourselves a little bit. That's why we go to watch those things. Yeah.
Dude, did you see that guy on YouTube? He says you can do this directly.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what happens. Yeah, you'd be like, oh, really? And then you're like so confused after a while. And I was so funny the other day. I'm talking to my virtual assistant. So, and I'm, you know, saying something to her about, you know, all the content that I had. And I was like, I started going through my content. I was like, oh my goodness, this is really ridiculous to have this much content. And I'm always thinking of like ways to kind of like make more content. And I was like, this is really ridiculous. You know, this has have to be set up the right way, you know? And we have so much simple information to give and to share. like you said, you sat down and you put 21 years into something. That's really good. And a lot of times as entrepreneurs, we don't do that. We want to go to the next shiny thing because that's what we think that our audience wants, because we didn't, as you said, strategize about who are we really attracting? Who do we want to work with? Yeah, so that's really good. Yeah. So tell us your favorite part of your book. One chapter. Tell us about one chapter of your book.
I like the hiring chapter because hiring is the toughest thing. No matter how many years you practice hiring, you will need a ton of time to decide which role to hire, to write the job post, to interview people, to have them demo, to onboard them. There are so many moving parts in this thing. And the more moving parts you have, the more stuff can go wrong. And then you onboard the right people, but after 2 months they leave you. And then you onboard the wrong people and they never leave you. So there's so many things that can go wrong, and it takes you hundreds of hours. That's why my favorite is the hiring chapter, because it has all the checklists and blueprints. Just do this step after that step. And that's literally what I use, because it took me so many iterations to get the hiring right.
And you talk about countries. You talk about the countries that you did different interviews in. Do those hiring practices change in different areas?
Yes, you have to be culturally sensitive, and there are different ways how you start the interview, how you conduct the interview, how you politely say no to things. You have to be very, very empathetic on the cultural side, and then you have the time zone differences, and then you have the different salaries that you need to be aware of, the expectations, and what they find important. So yes, there are so many things. You cannot do just the same thing in each country.
I get it. So what was the most challenging country that you've had experience with hiring?
Every week I'm learning something new. Every week. So there is even inside a continent, you can learn so many different things. Like you are in New York. New York is a totally different city than Miami, is a totally different city than Los Angeles, and we are still in the USA, right? And it's so different. And then imagine now Canada or in your same time zone going to South America. Totally different market.
That's different. Yeah, you're right about that. So what would you share with someone to, if they wanted to get into this type of work that you do, what would you say to them to be empowered to do, to be involved?
So, you mean if somebody wants to start a consultancy or if somebody wants to scale faster?
Well, both. Let's do both. Let's do both.
Well, if you want to start a consultancy, the most important thing is that you solve real problems for real people. So, start working with 10, and then backwards you realize, all right, this is what I can deliver in this time frame. So it might be you help them reduce costs in a year. Might be you help them increase sales in half a year. It might be you help them save time in doing something. Those are the three vital things. And somewhere in there, if that's your superpower, you will find in one of those areas that you can start promising those things. And then you say, okay, in 6 months, I can reduce your costs by 15%. Then that's your offer. And then you move it from there. As soon as you find that now you are probably around 35 to 50,000 per month. Now you move into stage two. You have found something that works and you know what you're good at. Now it's about scaling it. And scaling is now about writing down how it works and hiring and handing processes over and removing yourself from
Right.
being the bottleneck of the business.
Right.
Now,
Absolutely.
that's the consulting journey
Yeah.
if you're building a consultancy. And then you have to fire yourself from
Right.
operations, like I did. At some point, you are the bottleneck. You have
Yes.
to get out of being the coach. Now
Right.
you will start coaching the coaches.
Right. You have to get out of it.
And
Yeah, you have to totally get out of it. You're so right, because I know for my own business, I was in my own way and I had to start hiring to get out of my way to hire people.
exactly.
Yeah, so yeah, it does matter. Definitely. Definitely.
Exactly.
So,
And on the other side, if you want to scale your business,
Right.
the first thing to do is to map, write down what's marketing, what's sales, what's operation doing right now. And now you gradually hand that over. And
Ah.
now you move to the next bigger problem to solve. So you have solved now the marketing problem, you solved the sales problems, you solved the operations problem. Now you have to solve the scaling problem.
Right.
What is a business model that is conducive and the most direct path to our growth? What are big affiliate partnerships, joint ventures that we can start that will catapult our growth? How can we turn our costs from fixed costs into variable costs? How can we build in network effects so that not just we create value, but each one of our clients, if we connect them, creates value to each other so that the whole ecosystem is more valuable,
Yeah.
even while we sleep. Now you start building community.
Right. Excellent. Sounds good. All right. How can we find you, audience? How can my audience set find you? Should they be interested in your consulting services?
Strategysprints.com is where you find us, and also many of our templates are open source there. You can download them.
Okay.
Strategysprints.com. And the book is wherever you buy books. It's also on Amazon, and it's called Strategy Sprints.
Wonderful. Well, that brings us to the end of the show. And we want to thank the audience for listening. And if you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to support the podcast, please share it with others, post about on social media, leave a rating and a review, and or get to talk to our guest today, Simon Servino. Thanks again. This is Edna White and my guest, Simon Servino, saying bye for now.
Thank you. Keep rolling, everybody.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.